flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
First round. Does Art have the stones to fire a coach who still doesn't have a losing season? And my answer is probably no.
What about lame duck year? Finally have to sit there and prove it for a year.
I still think it's like Cowher in 98, 99, and 2000 where he's like, all right.
But that was Bill hadn't even been on the job for a decade, man. This guy would have been going on a decade of no playoff wins. That's grim. You know what? I'm even going to draw my line in the sand. Say if it's 2-9-8 seasons, one of which no playoff appearance, the other one a wild card defeat again. That final year, 2027, I think Mike would go into it without a new contract and with the closest explicit saying from Art, you know, going, we're probably going to look elsewhere. Like essentially Mike's coaching for his job.
This is, he would not comment on other teams. He would not make anything. He would not make that misstep and criticize another team in order to prop up his own team. His brother might. Jim might. And by the way, we got a 6-second response to those Jim Rooney comments.
You know, Jim speaks for himself and I'm happy that he's doing good selling his book.
Yeah, I think he's sitting back at the kids' table for Thanksgiving dinner, Jim, next November.
I can't get over the second part of it.
Hope he's doing a good job selling that book. Here's what I was going to say. I bet he looks at the way the Eagles have gone about firing head coaches after winning Super Bowls as like a complete, like,
anathema
antithetical
to him, yeah,
way of doing it. Even though it's been more successful, I bet he would say, you know, this kind of knee-jerk, reactionary way the Eagles do things. You know, the chickens will come home to roost.
Like, it's almost uncouth that they do it. Except they fired Doug Peterson, who won a Super Bowl, and they're back playing for their second Super Bowl since firing Doug Peterson.
Like, I bet he would look at the way Jerry Jones treated Mike McCarthy and say, like, that's not cool. That's not appropriate. That's not right to, you know, show a guy the door and replace him with an assistant coach when he's pretty much won. He had three straight 12-win seasons there, and you one bad year, your quarterback gets hurt, and you say, sayonara, That's not how things should be done in the NFL. That's not how we do business. I bet he feels that way. Because by that logic, you don't win this many games if you're not a good coach, currently a good coach. I bet, you know, I know Art feels probably strongly about Spygate, but I bet he thinks that Bill Belichick should still be coaching the Patriots. You know, when you have a coach that keeps winning, you don't.
That's
winning,
pretty grim.
When you're outperforming the mean, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, if you will. He did say that it's fair to wonder or question if Mike's message is still getting through because they lost 5 games in a row. But then based on what he called conversations with current players, he feels like it is. They all rallied around Mike, apparently.
So what? Like, your players telling you that his message is getting through should be so far down like the list of what matters compared to wins and losses.
Yeah, what is this? The scene in Rooney where the guys go into Devine's office and say, here's the jerseys, we're not going to play unless you put this schlub in the game. We're going to walk out on you if you get rid of Mike.
You've got Kirk Herbstreit literally questioning their effort in a playoff game. I'm sorry. The message is absolutely, it's up for question whether the message is getting through.
Here is a clip from this Q&A that is labeled a message from Art to Mike Tomlin.
Disappointment. You know, we got to really figure out how we, you know, how we get better and what we need to do to get better. I think he understands it. Look, Mike knows, you know, what the goal is here and what we're shooting for. So, he's as disappointed as I am in the way it finished.
What is that goal now? Because it's been 8 years without a playoff win. If you say the goal is to win a Super Bowl, then the guy has failed in epic fashion 8 straight years.
I think that's the nebulous thing. I mean, they stated last offseason we're impatient. Mike's impatient. It's time to start winning playoff games and making a run. Does that automatically translate to the goal is to win a Super Bowl? It kind of doesn't sound like it does.
How about Art just didn't even, he said the hell with that. I'm not even going to come out this year and go back to my
I think he was well prepared by like the PR staff, by like a Bert Lauten, somebody, you know, who is going to prep him for what he might be facing. And also I think tell him, hey, the tenor is so negative right now. Certain things that maybe we've said in previous off seasons are going to go over like a lead balloon.
But if you disagreed with the outside narrative, you honestly felt like what you guys were doing, process good, players good, getting bad luck, not being your year, etc., then I would want to come out. You're a lawyer. Your whole schooling and your whole education is being able to articulate points eloquently and properly. Why not say that then? You guys are acting like Chicken Little out here. The sky is falling. Here's why it's not. I thought Dave and Dalmont made a very good point. He tried in the opening statement, after expressing disappointment, well, let me pluck out a couple things to give fans optimism. And the best he could do was hope the offensive line gets better. And I still believe in our linebackers. Those aren't two great things to hang your head on, Chris. Especially when your positive comment about the offensive line is one where you're saying, I've got my fingers crossed on it working, but he couldn't even bring himself to say that he like believes that the offensive line is ready to, you know, look like the Eagles line or the Lions line or one of the best.
I mean, the duality
NFL.
Of all this, though, is he's maybe striking that tone that there are some things that genuinely concern him, and yet
not doing anything about it.
Well, and not doing anything, like the best you could come up with there is he called Mike a good coach, not a great coach. We're still splitting hairs. The guy who is still the most responsible for all the things Art is talking about, the guy who has his hands at the controls of all of this, the owner's still happy with. So how unhappy is he about all this other stuff we're kind of down in the dumps if he still backs the guy who is most responsible for all of it?
He's happy enough. He's happy enough where he's not going to force Mike to do things differently.
Well, that's the money part of this then. If he's not going to force any changes, then what's the point of like even reading that much into it all?
412-928-9370. Let's get some of your calls in here, starting with our friend Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Andrew. Chris, how are you guys doing, man?
Hey, man.
You sound like you went through the ringer reading some of these comments from Art or hearing some of these comments, Lou. You sound exhausted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually angry. I called you guys 2 weeks ago, and when I hung up, I heard what you said, that I sounded like I was down now, which I was. But it's turning into anger. And let me ask you guys a few things. Give me a moment if you don't mind, okay? I want the owner to understand what he's actually doing. This guy has coached our team for 18 years. Do you have any years out of those 18 that we actually won a playoff game?
Four.
22% of the time we've won a playoff game with this so-called great/good coach. 6 consecutive blowout losses in the playoffs. We've given up the most points in the history of the NFL. And for the apologists, I need to correct them right now, saying that, oh, we don't have a quarterback. I'm sorry, guys. It doesn't work that way. We had a Hall of Fame quarterback. And while he coached that Hall of Fame quarterback, he lost to Tim Tebow, David Garrard, Blake Bortles, and Baker Mayfield. So I don't want to hear that excuse. It doesn't work. Also, you guys have mentioned it, and so have people on the radio, 131-14. That's the score of us starting these playoff games with this man at the helm. And out of those 14 points, one of them was a defensive touchdown by T.J. Watt. Right?
Yeah.
So here's my thing to the owner, and then I'll hang up. He's a Hall of Fame talker. He's a Hall of Fame cheerleader. He's an average coach at best with an under 500 record in the playoffs. He's been involved in many mistakes with the draft, most notably the quarterback that he took, which has put us in this position, Kenny Pickett. And lastly, to Art, you are complicit in this. As a matter of fact, Mr. Rooney, you're the reason why this franchise is stuck in mediocrity abyss. And people like myself, who've been rooting for the team for 40 years, are pulling their hair out. When will it be enough that you make a move and fire this man? When?
Thanks, Lou. I actually think one comment that we probably touched on and did not make a big enough deal about since this happened a couple hours ago. Why in the world would he say publicly, talking about Art, even if he believes this, why would you say you learned nothing from the Kenny Pickett disaster?
It was one of my takeaways.
Why
man.
Wouldn't you at least lie and say, yeah, there's some things about the way we went about scouting and developing the player.
Our that process will take... was flawed here. We have different priorities now.
You don't even have to say that. Just say, yes, there's things about the draft process, the draft evaluation, the player evaluation, the way we treated the player once he got here. You had to blow him out of here after 2 years, and the best you could do was get him to a team that only wanted him as a backup. And you're going to sit here and say you've taken nothing from it?
Tells me that Art was very prominently still involved.
I thought the same. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Because he doesn't want to. He knows if he says, "Yeah, we had a lot to learn from that," he'd be calling himself out.
I thought the same thing.
It was way too personal for
him. You've said before that your personal theory is that Art pushed through Kenny more than anybody else because he didn't want a repeat of the Marino mistake.
Correct.
And that answer kind of made me feel that way.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Too.
You know, I think the wide receiver room is an area we've got to look at improving, and You know, look, George is a very talented player who has room to grow, and we'd like to see him grow, and you know, hopefully he realizes the potential that he has. But there's definitely room for growth there.
We'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings on Mount View Drive in West Mifflin Friday from 2 to 6. Stop by and register for your chance. Get this to win free wings for an entire year. That's Friday at Buffalo Wild Wings in West Mifflin.
How many wings could you eat in an entire year if they were free? Like, before you'd be like, I'm all winged out here.
I think I'm eating 10 to 20 a day.
10 to 20?
Yeah.
You're not eating, how many
wings? If I'm in my 20s, hell yeah, I am.
So if he's eating 10 wings a day for 365 days, that's what, Donnie? I'm just doing the math here. 3,650 wings. 20 a day becomes 70-some hundred wings.
7,200 wings.
There's no way, man.
Yeah, I think so. It's a lot of dead
birds.
That's
a lot of hens to put in cages. Whew. I didn't think you'd say that, man.
Yeah, George Pickens isn't getting an extension from the Steelers.
No, he's not. That was obvious.
Best. Oh, I shouldn't say best. Only way he's back is if they make him ride out the final year of his deal.
But that's a game of chicken because the guy is volatile enough to think that maybe he's just going to make their lives miserable.
When the owner says something like, I hope he understands the talent that he has and that he has room to grow.
They're talking about him like he's like a kid in a superhero movie.
You do not give... He will not let it. Everything has to get put on the owner's desk. An extension that pays George Pickens more than $20 million a year. Art's not going to play fast and loose with his money like
that.
Man won't fire an assistant coach with a year left on his contract. He's not going to give a player that's behaving in this
manner,
that kind of money. You can tell from that answer.
Do you even think Mike at this point would go to him and say, I would like to offer this guy an extension? As much as we criticize Mike, and I think deservedly so, I don't even think he wants to give Pickens an extension.
I don't know. Mike, I feel like Mike thinks he's the good shepherd here and can fix anybody.
How many times does the guy have to make him look like a complete horse's ass and a toothless coach, an undisciplinarian, for him to say, you know what, finally, like, I think I'm done. He wasn't done with Deontay Johnson until he was. He wasn't done with Chase Claypool until he was. I think it's going to be the exact same thing with Pickens. He wasn't done with him publicly until suddenly he was.
412-928-9370. Here's Anthony in Oakland on the fan. Hello, Anthony.
You know, my disappointment with Mr. Rooney is I remember I told you guys maybe 2 weeks ago and said he needs to be more ruthless like his father.
Yep.
In certain circumstances. And here's how you break Mike Tomlin down, and this is how you do it as the owner. You bring Mike Tomlin in your office, and you say, Mike, I want you to look at something. Here's your first 5 years. They were exceptional. But you allowed your coordinators, who were Dick LeBeau and Arians, to have autonomy because my father said that these two were going to stay, and you accepted that. But since their departure, you're not as good because you're involved in everything. I want you, starting today, to allow your coordinators to have more autonomy because I think that's best beneficial to the team. And that's how you get things resulted here because as of now, this looks like an episode of Groundhog Day.
Anthony, what's to say Mike, though, after that kind of a come-to-Jesus talk would be like, you know what, you're right. Like, why would he change his opinion on it? I think Mike's pretty hardwired to want to do it his way, and he just got a big contract extension, essentially, for doing it his way.
Well, and that's why Mr. Rooney should have allowed that leverage that he had, which was a trade. He should have allowed that to go through. If that's why you have the conversation as soon as the season was over, before the rumors of Chicago came out.
I know, but...
Because that's what...
Anthony, but you know this even as you're saying it. Like, I know you're saying this is more like what you wish would have happened, but just every Art Rooney sort of action here, from giving the extension after last year, a longer than normal extension, to the story that suggests that the Bears called and that Rooney probably just told somebody or personally rebuffed them, just suggests that he doesn't feel like he needs to do any of those things. Like, that he's just not at that point or close to it.
But then he's becoming Bob Nutty, except they win a little more.
Welcome to Donnie's pool. The water is warm, Anthony. You and Donnie can have yourselves a little party over there.
I mean, Anthony, do you actually have if that conversation hasn't happened yet, what makes you think it will this offseason?
Well, it should have. That's my point. I'm saying that's my disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, I would have, like I said, I would, even today, I would have, you know, before Robert Saleh went back to the 49ers, as soon as the season was over, I would have said, we're going to replace Austin. And we're going to bring in hopefully a Robert Saleh, a Wink Martindale. We need someone else in here, Mike, and you're going to allow them to do it. I mean, that's what you have to do.
Anthony, they had that guy here, Brian Flores, and they let him leave.
Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah, right. To Mike's credit, they brought him. He lobbied for him to be here, and to Mike's discredit, he just could not take his hands off the steering wheel and hand it over to Flores. That was the duality. That's a true window, I think, into them, but also into Mike at this point in his career. He was, I don't want to say selfless enough, but he was smart enough to know that we have a chance to add a ridiculously good coach, but too proud to actually let the coach do his job.
Now, Art might
still have the real job.
Art might still end up doing more interviews. You know, he might do a sit down with Pomp. He might do a sit down with, I think he did one with Jenna Harner last year. You know, he'll do one with the website. You know, they got to do their own Steelers media tour on their own radio and YouTube and whatever else. He got asked by Will Graves of the AP pretty much why do you still have faith in Mike? And he gave the answer about when you've won that many games, you're a good coach. Somebody should ask him, what gives you confidence Mike can develop the next great Steelers quarterback? I want to hear that answer. What the F would he say?
I think I actually know.
What would he go with there?
When he knows,
he couldn't say, well, look at Ben Roethlisberger. He couldn't give Mike credit for that.
Donnie, tell me if this sounds right to you. I think when he knows there's not a real answer to something like that, he goes and falls back on the it takes a village. He'd say, well, it's not just Mike who would be developing a young quarterback. It would be our offensive coordinator. It would be our position coaches, our quarterback coach.
And then if it's a one-on-one interview, you say, yeah, but our Mike hires all those people. Well, so it is Mike.
I believe in the team that Mike's assembled here, the coaching staff that Mike has assembled.
And then I would start rattling off names of guys like Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph to say, really, you do?
And then
sure about that.
And then he'd say, oh, wait, look at the time.
Here's Rob and O'Hara on the fan. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good.
I just want to make one little correction. It's not the state of the Steelers. It's the estate of the Steelers. The organization is dead. You know, he came out today, and like I said a couple weeks ago, Jimmy Stewart saw his shadow today and predicted 8 more years without a playoff victory. It's a wonderful life, isn't it? What I heard today from Art was he's saying under his breath, he wouldn't say it out loud, why the hell did I give Tomlin a 3-year contract extension with a no-trade clause? That's the big takeaway for me.
I don't agree with that last point on the no-trade clause part, because he could have just asked Mike to waive it if he thought that was in the best interest of the organization.
God, man, I wish I agreed with Rob's, like, Art is quietly seething under his breath. I don't think he is. I would have so much more hope if I had gleaned from what he said today that he was actually ticked off about, Mike.
Here's another one I would have asked him. And you might be right about this, Chris. He might have tried to give you a alternative answer and not directly answer the question, which I think in and of itself, when you do that, you are actually answering the question. I would have just asked him point blank, do you think Mike Tomlin did a good job this year? That's it.
Because the good coach thing basically is you can't. He answered it with Mike's career, not with Mike's immediate work.
And
this
if
year.
He says, like you just gave the answer for the quarterback thing, if he gives some kind of, well, it's on all of us, well, then that would tell me that he doesn't feel comfortable or confident saying yes to that question.
Sure. No, that's fair.
Like he did a lot of things in this, from what we've heard of it, and we'll play more next hour. He did a lot of things where, and we've heard other skilled orators in this town do this. Kyle Dubas is the king of this, where he makes the person asking the question feel good about their question, where he's like, that's a great question, or that's a fair point. Or I understand where you're coming from with that.
Tries to get a little rapport going so that he can dodge it.
But like, okay, I get where you're like, you're onto something here. But that's the extent to which he actually gives you a direct answer on things, or better said, that's as far as he's willing to go to agree with the premise of the question. Exactly. It's a fair point to question our coach when we've lost five games at the end of the year.
That's all the exposition you're getting out of him. Yeah, it's a tactic. It's a strategy. And then they think, oh, well, he did say it was a fair point, but then kind of petered off after that. I guess I'm a little bit different from you in the sense that I think you're trying. I know you said this at the top of the hour. You're almost like hoping that you're reading between the lines in a way that you don't even think necessarily Art means it. I'm just not even willing to give him that much grace or even give myself that much hope that there's any real unhappiness there. Robin O'Hara, I love his calls. He's usually pretty cynical. It almost sounded hopeful. Like, people really believe Art Rooney's messed up about how he gave Mike this contract, and he can't believe he did that.
Chris, here's, I think, the most practical, comparable or relative way I can explain what it sounds like, what I feel is going on here from the way this season ended. And with our quarterback situation, too, where he says, you know, my preference would be to bring one guy back, but we still have to go into the draft and look because we don't have a quarterback that's anything like the guys that just played this past weekend. He just sounds like a guy that is in a relationship and the relationship's not going great, but he's just comfortable enough and he's settled enough where he just can't bring himself to do any kind of like life-changing move to get himself out of it or make it better. That's what it feels like. There are things about my spouse or there are things about this relationship that I really don't like. Oh, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's what it sounds like to me.
But unlike a relationship where if you break it off, you might end up being single and lonely if, you know, your personality is repellent. In this situation, you, by basically rule, have to replace the old relationship with a new one.
Yes, and they have a great history of that.
Like, that's actually supposed to... Somebody wrote a song. Some woman wrote a song where it said, the best part of breaking up is finding somebody else.
Who was that? Was that Dolly Parton?
I think it was Liz Phair, actually.
Donnie, do you know who that is?
No. I know Dolly. I don't know Liz.
Liz Phair has an interesting collection of singles.
How about Eric Phair? That music means it's time for Donnie's football segment. It's called the Donnie Football Debrief. A ton out there. Any number of things. Championship games. Art Rooney 2. Electric Boogaloo. All at his disposal. Then whatever is the biggest thing on his brain right now, you're going to hear it in the Donnie Football Debrief.
The Debrief, January 27, 2025. We also have the Senior Bowl going on this week. And Chris gets an assist on this one. He pointed this out to me. One of the quarterback prospects we've already started talking about, because a few people have had him in mock drafts. Ray Fittipaldo had him third rounder in his mock draft last week. Jalen Milroe from Alabama. But one of the key measurements you see on the card for Jalen Milroe: small, dainty, tiny hands.
Smaller than Pickett?
I believe they are.
Holy crap.
His is 8'6'8".
Yeah, that goofy, like, four-digit way they measure everything at the Senior Bowl drives me crazy, but all the people who study that say his hands clocked in smaller than Pickett's. You can't draft him. Even in the third round, undraftable. There are people who have looked up the hand measurement thing and said Pickett is actually the most successful NFL quarterback with hands that small. You can't draft Milroe. He's off the board. He's already going to be a bit of a project anyway. Can't take him.
And why is that? Ball security, even with the glove technology out there, you don't trust him to
ball security. Yes, all of that.
Make it happen.
It's one of those things where eventually we all laughed about it when they drafted Kenny. People were, you know, I think high on the idea that he actually could be a great quarterback. But when you realize that literally not one guy with hands that small has ever been good in the NFL at quarterback, tells me all I need to know. Like, Burrow clocks in, I think, just over like 9-inch hands. He's probably on the small end for
hands.
Yeah,
but I mean, you could have looked at the draft 2 years ago and said, I'll take Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud. Why? because Ohio State quarterbacks have never been good in the NFL. Somebody's going to break the mold. They used to say that about short quarterbacks, then Drew Brees came along.
Bryce Young would break a mold, by the way, for just being basically the physically smallest quarterback ever to be good.
Yeah.
He looks like he's built like Doug Flutie's little brother.
I think lightest quarterback, even...
He cannot play at a
even lighter above, than what, Kyler Murray.
What does he play at? 185, maybe? 5'10", 185? Apparently, though, Bryce Young's got... I would imagine Bryce Young hand measurements. I bet you he's got mitts.
Donnie, you got bigger hands than Milroe?
I do. I remember we did that video when the Kenny Pickett hand measurement came out. I mean, I have small hands, but they're like the same size as Pickett, so they would be better than... bigger than Milroe.
You know, he had some gigantic hands.
I know who you're going to say.
Lindberg.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He had paws.
93.7thefan.com web guy.
Well, I mean, Amanda King,
her hands are almost bigger than mine.
Yeah.
And my hands, I think, just that got we got the 9 1/4 somehow. I was stretching those bad boys, but that's what you're supposed to do.
Lindbergh's 5'10", and he's got like Shaq hands.
Bryce Young.
Does meat hooks.
Bryce Young listed 5'10", 1/8 inch, 204 pounds. Hand size. 9 3/4 inch hands. He's a little guy who's got just two Rawlings mitts, basically.
Well, that's Russell Wilson for you too, man.
Didn't Russ have the quote? I was put on. God blessed me with big hands to throw beautiful.
Remember,
Kabali
was in a cold sweat looking at his hands. Like, man, when he shook my hand, a shiver went up my spine.
Did Russ even shake your hand when we were at that event where he completely sidestepped
me,
stiff-armed your small talk?
No. Wait, he may have, but...
You were so hurt by the fact that he stiff-armed the small talk attempt that him engulfing your hand would have just been a blur. Can't draft the guy, though, Donnie. Do you agree? Can't draft him. Undraftable player, no?
No. Yeah, I'm not taking him.
Well, you didn't want him to begin with. This is just like the cherry on top of that with Milroe. You were out on him from the very beginning because his numbers at Alabama sucked, and you said, why would I trust the Steelers coaching staff to fix a guy that was not really that good in college last year?
There are 27 people on that staff, apparently. Very robust staff of 27.
I don't trust a single one of them to
Art's response to a question about the size of the coaching staff, and he's immediately ruling out that as the one like little thing in the margins they aren't going to do because he feels like they have enough coaches. I know how he has to take that as a shot at him, like, not allocating enough money, basically, to, like, build a good coaching staff. And the fact that he is just so quick to shoot that down, another bad sign from today.
We'll hear him on topics like, do the Steelers need to reevaluate where they spend their money? So much on defense, so little on offense. Also, if they need to evolve and become more of a pass-first offense. That's all coming up next hour. Donnie, thank you for the debrief.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.